nor dance so gracefully as I once did, and I have entirely forgot the minuet de la cour. Adieu, Laura. Letter 4th, Laura to Marianne. Our neighbourhood was small, for it consisted only of your mother. She may probably have already told you that being left by her parents in indigent circumstances, she had retired into Wales on economical motives. There it was our friendship first commenced. Isabel was then 21. Though pleasing both in her person and manners, between ourselves, she never possessed the 100th part of my beauty or accomplishments. Isabel had seen the world. She had passed 2 years at one of the first boarding schools in London, had spent a fortnight in Bath, and had supped one night in Southampton. "Beware, my Laura," she would often say, "beware of the insipid vanities and idle dissipations of the metropolis of England. Beware of the unmeaning luxuries of Bath, and of the stinking fish of Southampton." "Alas," exclaimed I, "how am I to avoid those evils I shall never be exposed to? What probability is there of my ever tasting the dissipations of London, the luxuries of Bath, or the stinking fish of Southampton? I, who am doomed to waste my days of youth and beauty in an humble cottage in the Vale of Usk." Ah, little did I then think I was ordained so soon to quit that humble cottage for the deceitful pleasures of the world. Adieu, Laura. Letter 5th, Laura to Marianne. One evening in December, as my father, my mother, and myself were arranged in social converse round our fireside, we were on a sudden greatly astonished by hearing a violent knocking on the outward door of our rustic cot. My father started. "What noise is that?" said he. "It sounds like a loud rapping at the door," replied my mother. "It does indeed," cried I.
"I am of your opinion," said my father. "It certainly does appear to proceed from some uncommon violence exerted against our unoffending door."
"Yes," exclaimed I. "I cannot help thinking it must be somebody who knocks for admittance."
"That is another point," replied he. "We must not pretend to determine on what motive the person may knock, though that someone does rap at the door, I am partly convinced." Here a second tremendous rap interrupted my father in his speech, and somewhat alarmed my mother and me.
"Had we better not go and see who it is?" said she. "The servants are out." "I think we had," replied I.
"Certainly," added my father, "by all means."
"Shall we go now?" said my mother.
"The sooner the better," answered he.
"Oh, let no time be lost," cried I.
A third, more violent rap than ever again assaulted our ears.
"I am certain there is somebody knocking at the door," said my mother.
"I think there must," replied my father.
"I fancy the servants are returned," said I. "I think I hear Mary going to the door."
"I'm glad of it," cried my father, "for I long to know who it is." I was right in my conjecture, for Mary, instantly entering the room, informed us that a young gentleman and his servant were at the door, who had lost their way, were very cold, and begged leave to warm themselves by our fire.
"Won't you admit them?" said I.
"You have no objection, my dear," said my father.
"None in the world," replied my mother. Mary, without waiting for any further commands, immediately left the room and quickly returned, introducing the most beauteous and amiable youth I had ever beheld. The servant she kept to herself. My natural sensibility had already been greatly affected by the sufferings of the unfortunate stranger, and no sooner did I first behold him than I felt that on him the happiness or